it's time to go out and...
From a seemingly now very popular nightclub at the end of the world, you know who I am, Mike Rupert. It's Sunday, the 25th of March, 2012, and I'm still in shock, having just heard from Gary Null that Lifeboat Hour is the number one show on the network. We share that we're tied for first place, which is amazing, thanks to all of you out there and all the new people. Network had 38,000 new listeners last week. Okay, so this conscious change that we've been waiting on is happening, and then, of course, the $64,000 question is it happening fast enough? For those of you who listened last week and you're kind of out there scoffing, well, see, you everything's fine. You weren't arrested, and you weren't shot or anything. And for all you guys who, you know, want to bring that up to me, be patient. I'm working on it. The world is still incredibly scared tonight, and there's been some beautiful things happen this week. But just to take a quick look at what's gone on, it's now been 8 days since the United States government, with the British and NATO allies, denied Iran access to the SWIFT international money transfer system. It was a nuclear blow. It was unprecedented. It was absolutely an act of economic warfare. And just throw that onto the nuclear bases, the military bases blown up, the Iranian nuclear scientists assassinated and blown up, and all that. And Iran has not come out to the bully's taunt. And the $64,000 question last week was how long could Iran function, or how well, without SWIFT? And on a one-day-at-a-time basis, I would submit that the jury's probably still out on whether Iran has got a perfect workaround. But what is very clear is that countries around the world are siding with Iran all over the place. They are standing there taking the blows. And yet, we have a United States government, British government, Israeli government, they're total disarray. They are just stumbling around like blind men, having put themselves in the position of, calling war two or three times now and just being shut down before they get out of the gate. There's more detail with that, but the fact that the world is extremely concerned about this was reflected in a letter that Fidel Castro of Cuba published this week on Global Research. That's the website of Michelle Chosudovsky, who has been a guest on this show. I want to read some quotes. The title of Fidel's article was U.S. War on Iran, the Worst Mistake in American History. Well, there's a headline that says it all, buddy. This reflection could be written today, tomorrow, this is Fidel, or any other day without the risk of being mistaken. Our species faces new problems. When 20 years ago I stated at the UN Conference on the Environment and Development in Rio de Janeiro that a species was in danger of extinction, I had fewer reasons than today for warning about a danger I was seeing perhaps 100 years away. At that time, a handful of leaders of the most powerful countries were in charge of the world. They applauded my words as a matter of mere courtesy and placidly continued to dig for the burial of our species. Fidel Castro understands collapse. Cuba understands collapse. They went through a peak oil crisis, and they had to learn how to grow food organically, and they learned some amazing lessons. And world leaders are now starting to talk about collapse, and this is good. This is a good sign. Fidel continues. He says, it seemed that on our planet, common sense and order reigned. For a while, economic development backed by technology and science appeared to be the alpha and omega of human society. That's unlike the ones and zeros of Cartesian tyranny. Fidel continues, today everything is much clearer. Profound truths have been surfacing. Almost 200 states supposedly independent constitute the political organization which, in theory, has the job of governing the destiny of the world. And then he notes, 25,000 nuclear weapons are needed to defend the changing order. He continues, this is truncated. Does anyone by chance think that the United States will be capable of acting with the independence that will keep it from the inevitable disaster awaiting it? In a few weeks, the $40 million President Obama promised to collect for his electoral campaign will only serve to show that the currency of his country has lost its value. He gets it. And that the U.S., with its unusual growing public debt drawing close to $20 quadrillion, those are those unfunded liability thingies, folks, is living on the money to print it up and not, the United States, Fidel writes, is living on the money it prints up and not on the money it produces. The rest of the world pays for what they waste. Nor does anyone believe that the Democratic candidate would be any better or worse than his Republican foes. Whether they are called Mitt Romney or Rick Santorum, light years separate these three characters from Abraham Lincoln or Martin Luther King. Amen, brother. Notice he didn't, he sounds like Ron Paul, doesn't he? It is really unheard of to observe such a technologically powerful nation and a government so bereft of both ideas and moral values. Bravo. Fidel continues, in recent days, the Iranians have seen how U.S. soldiers occupying Afghanistan in just 3 weeks urinated on the corpses of killed Afghans, burned copies of the Quran, and murdered more than 15 defenseless citizens. Let us imagine U.S. forces launching monstrous bombs on industrial institutions capable of penetrating through 60 meters of concrete. Never has such an undertaking ever been conceived and carried out. Not one more word is needed to understand the gravity of such a policy. In that way, our species will be inexorably led towards disaster. If we do not learn how to understand, we shall never learn how to survive. As for me, I harbor not the slightest doubt that the United States is about to commit and lead the world towards the greatest mistake in its history. Fidel Castro, Ruiz, March 21, 2012. We're going to do one more thing here before we go to the song. So anyway, it's like everybody kind of gets that, out of 7 billion people, 6,999,999,999 don't want a war. There's some beautiful acts of love and some acts of desperation. We're going to roll a tape here that we've had up on the World News Desk. It's kind of a global phenomenon right now. It's a two-minute tape, comes out of Israel with a great video. We're going to listen right now to Iran, Israel, We Love You, made by an Israeli father of children, 41 years old.
Hi, I'm Ronnie. I'm 41 years old. I'm a father. I'm a graphic designer. I'm a teacher. I'm a citizen of Israel, and I need your help. Lately in the news you can hear about a war coming, a big one. Government are talking about destruction, about self-defense. Like this war is not about us. 3 days ago, I posted a poster on Facebook. The message was simple. Iranian, we will never bomb your country. We love you. Attached to the poster, I wrote a few words. To the Iranian people, to all father, mother, children, brothers and sisters. For there to be a war between us, first, we must be afraid one of each other. We must hate. I'm not afraid of you. I don't hate you. I don't even know you. No Iranian ever did me no harm. I never even met an Iranian, just one in Paris in a museum. Nice dude. I see sometime here on the TV an Iranian. He's talking about war. I sure it does not represent all of the people of Iran. If you see someone on your TV talking about bombing you, be sure it does not represent all of the people of Israel. So within 24 hours, people start sharing the poster on their Facebook. Within 48 hours, the Iranian people start responding to the posters and share back their love to us. Hundreds of messages arriving from Iran telling the Israeli people, we love you back. The day after, we were on TV, on newspaper, proving that the message was traveling fast. Okay, now we want to make sure that the message reached everybody, not only in the Facebook community, but everywhere. This is a message by the people to the people. So please donate and help us spread this message. Thank you.
It's become pretty viral, and I've been some checking. It's had like a 500,000 hits according to Facebook, but you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world where the super spook sick P people who run government control the counters, and they have a way of resetting counter numbers that's been documented a ton. This thing, you know, might have been seen 5 or 10 million times, because it's more important to the powers that be to make us believe that we are alone, to make us believe that we are a minority, to make us believe that we have an uphill battle, when in fact I suspect that almost everybody in the world feels the same way. And the consciousness change will come when we look around and we realize that we are the majority. We are the 99%. It's real edgy tonight in the nightclub at the edge of the world. I got my shades on. We'll talk about that later, why I got the shades on. But I'm sitting back and I'm just kind of waiting for something to happen. And I thought I would pick an edgy new white trash song tonight. I want to thank everybody for the feedback that you gave me for playing Back Road last week. We've had a lot of traffic at the new white trash site. Please also take a look at the Venice Arts Club site. Just Google Venice Arts Club. There's a whole slew of us there who were involved in a whole lot of amazing music, and they're kind of tracking the radio show there too. So this is good. But you know, I think tonight I just wanted to go something, you know, like put the shades back on and start banging your head or dancing or something. And this is Running with the New White Trash.
You know you're running with the new white trash. You say, why me?
with the new white trash? Because we is the new white trash. Welcome to our side of the line. You can find that in 36 other originals at www.newwhitetrash.com. All the sales go to my bandmate, band founder, Dougie Lewis, a dear friend of mine who's been battling some really nasty cancer for a long time. And I appreciate the sale. Somebody, a few people spent 99 cents to buy Backroad. I just don't, that's just, man, it's the thought that counts. We love it. Thank you. Okay, now let's go back a little bit, dig a little bit deeper into some of this stuff that's going on here. What was apparent was, like, everybody's been holding their breath for Iran to act like the United States. For Iran to, you know, blow up something or attack something or start an oil embargo or sink the USS Enterprise or something like that. Remember the Maine or the Gulf of Tonkin or 9/11. But none of that's taken place. And it's very clear to me, and it needs to be clear to everybody out there listening tonight, that there is a real effective resistance working around the world. CollapseNet is part of that, but, you know, it's the Zero Hedges, it's the Max Kaisers, it's the, you know, there's a lot of people out here swinging and doing really good stuff, and we are screwing with them. And it's making a big difference. I see we have one caller. I'm not going to take them. Well, let me just finish with this thought before I get to a Robert from SoCal. So Iran has, and I wrote this earlier this week with the most profound conviction, almost like having a vision, that every day that Iran does not retaliate, more and more of the world will move to support it, and that is in fact what has happened this week. More barter deals arranged with India. Turkey is working out an oil swap deal, and so every day that Iran does not behave like the U.S., it becomes stronger. Okay, I want to get to this caller now. Robert from Southern Cal, you there?
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much for what you do. I just want to call and kind of give a statement and two little questions. Just a statement. I go in and I go to my company computers and I put on a CollapseNet for the homepage as a default, just to kind of get people to wake up. I've been making press kits of you, Gary Null, Helen Caldicott, Derek Jensen, and I really appreciate that last show with Derek on there. That was a great show. Derek's going to be back. Always want to be that guy. But I spread press kits to people, and just kind of speaking, I'm 26, and, you know, not many people my age in my area, even Southern California, talk about this. And as you know, and as everyone knows, it's just, it can be horribly overwhelming and very lonely, man. You want to share this. You want people to get on board. You want people to kind of feel it.
Did you have a question? Because I got some other places I need to go.
Sorry.
I apologize.
One quick question. Just in general, the area of communication in the near future, I've gotten into ham radio, but what are your thoughts on, you know, public outreach and relaying information and anything like that that we can all kind of focus our energy towards?
Well, we're long past the stage of trying to organize anything out in the world. Yeah. If you're doing that, you know, it's too late. Unless you've got your lifeboat crew picked out already and the people you're going to be working with, it's too late to go out and do anything that's like infrastructure building or trying to get anything else done. You want to... Okay.
Hoping to listen to you after the lights go out, that's all.
Yeah, well, no, I have no plans. We don't have enough money. We had some horrible cyber attacks this year that hurt us terribly, and, you know, we're just barely operating here. So we don't have anything in place, you know, if the net goes down to replace this show. I'll just let everybody know that now. We don't have enough money, and maybe Spirit will just say that that's what, you know, as long as we were needed for. Okay. All right. Thank you. Anyway, all right. Now I want to get back to that thread I was on. I'll probably come back and take calls maybe about a quarter of the hour, but I need to run with some stuff for a while here. So sure enough, every day that that Iran does not retaliate and shows that it can function in the world is a day when it grows stronger. And as I was going through this and writing this during the week, I was thinking, because there's a very different feel now. When someone, you know, when I'm talking about Iran, I don't get a feel or reaction from the public at large, not just focused on me, that anybody even cares anymore. It's just like everybody is sick of war. And I was taking the dialogue a little further, because we always tend to argue with zombies that were picking on us, sometime in the past, about political philosophy. Now, we're pretty sophisticated on this show. I've said many times that communism, capitalism, and socialism are all dead, dying anachronisms, because all of them assume infinite energy. So this is not about political ideology. And so I'm thinking, it's not about political ideology at all. It's not. I just want to find a government that can tell the truth. Can we start there? That our governments are like supposed to tell us the truth? And that's what Iran is doing. And, you know, the way I was raised as an American is that Americans told the truth. And Americans do, but our government is a bunch of criminals. And I have to, stand, real solidly with a lot of people out here now, saying that this system has to be torn down. There is no other priority. Nothing can happen until the criminals are taken out of the control room. I'd just settle for a government that could tell the truth, because that's the place that we all have to start from. I'm going to look up a great quote that I got during the week and read that after the station break. I also want to talk about economic reporting. Now, I'm assuming you've all been on GlobalNet. I'm assuming many of you are members of GlobalNet, and you know my work and you know my style. And what I've done and what we do at GlobalNet is, man, we got ways to scour the world for stories that actually tell the truth. They're not the ones that ever make the headlines, but and we have just been so effective. And I have. That's why crossing the Rubicon has described the world we live in today. But what I've noticed over the last like 48 hours, the economic news has been absolutely horrendous. I mean, just off the cliff, shutting down, multi-day power blackouts. We're talking, 20% drops in sales of this and Baltic, So over the last 2 days, I have seen like this unbelievable void that used to be filled up with all this bullshit about bailouts and about restoring growth and IMF and somebody proposing this and so on. It's like they're not even trying anymore. So that really sits very profoundly with a feeling that I've had for like the last 2 or 3 days, that something enormously huge is upon us. And it kind of feels to me like it's something we're not going to find out about through the computer. I don't know. But I have never, because the propaganda machine has just kind of all of a sudden stopped putting out economic propaganda. Well, maybe they'll be back at it tomorrow, but I don't know. It's like Iran has got, because everybody knows, and let me repeat this again right before we go to station break. Crossing the Rubicon, I clearly described a U.S. Zionist Israeli, Zionist is the key word, criminal enterprise that was going to bring us to this position unless we addressed September 11th. Think about that. We're going to take a station break. I'll come back right after this.
Fighting the long odds. Could you refuse? Strange. And what would you
long odds. And could you refuse? Don't let the fear turn my ears and eyes off.
Yeah, baby, that's It Would Be Strange from New White Trash. Michael Yost, our dear friend, AOST, incredible guitar player, plays some kick-ass wah-wah on there. Okay, 9/11. I thought some great things happened this week. There's a German financial writer named Lars Schaal, great guy. I helped get him an interview with Matthew Simmons a few years back. And Lars has just been kicking butt. And he wrote an amazingly detailed and thorough article for the Asia Times this week on insider trading around 9/11. The dead body shot 147 times, lying in the middle of the street when nobody can say that there's been a crime. And the evidence is so overwhelming and it's so clear-cut and it is so irrefutable. And so Max Kaiser has interviewed Lars, and Lars got a video coming out about it. But there is an awareness, and I kind of suggested this last week, that, you know, if you want to shut down the maniacs who are leading us all to extinction and who are just causing unbelievable suffering all over the world right now, the easy headshot to take down the criminal enterprise that's trying to attack Iran, the same one that perpetrated 9/11, is just everybody say insider trading 9/11. It will stop the United States government in its tracks, and I think that awareness is growing globally. This is not about anything more than just absolutely stopping the story of the United States government dead in its tracks. And I so hope that, you know, that maybe that gets some legs, because all you got to do is put insider trading on the table with all the proof that's been out there now after so many years, and boom, headshot. Whole story falls apart. Same people who did that are trying to kill us now. Hello? Yeah. And I hope that that maybe gets to be a headshot that gets made. And I would hope world leaders, you know, almost the whole world went along with 9/11 after it happened and all the hoopla in the press, because there was more to be gained by siding with the U.S. than by telling the obvious lies, calling them as they were happening. But that ain't the world we live in now. The U.S.'s pile of carrots is... it's past peak, man. U.S. ain't got that many carrots left to hang out, but it still has its sticks. And we need to take away those, too, because until we change the way money works, Ron Paul for president, we change nothing. All right, now I want to have a little heart-to-heart with some world leaders tonight. And I know that many come to listen. We see that now, especially on the Wibia bar, on the CollapseNet site, man. As soon as I put out a tweet on the story, man, the online lights come on in capitals all over the world. And we know that this is a good forum that we're in, and we welcome all who come in here to eavesdrop in this nightclub. But I especially want to talk tonight about the leaders of India and Pakistan, and maybe Tajikistan and Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan and maybe the Philippines. I want to talk to the leaders of any so-called developing country who, from the course of the 1990s to current day, has gone massively in debt to Western banks and corporations to develop pipelines and to develop energy transmission routes and to, whether they be natural gas or oil, whatever, because India and Pakistan are both dying of, absolutely dying of energy starvation right now. If you're on the world news desk every day, you see the horrors that are taking place in both in India and Pakistan. But I read this story today that kind of just made me gag. It was from a Pakistani newspaper that was lamenting riots and, you know, all that stuff. And they're begging the U.S. to complete a pipeline project. Okay, look, let me break the news to the whole world out there who has spent tens of billions of dollars with Halliburton and Schlumberger and, you know, Bechtel, whoever, you know, all the major corporations. And you were sold a can, an empty can. You were sold all these pipelines when the U.S. government was a criminal co-conspirator with the corporations and the banks, because they all knew that they got you in debt for it, but no juice was ever going to flow through it. That's why the U.S. government and the banks and the corporations went to unbelievable lengths to suppress the knowledge of peak oil, because they're still selling your countries. And you know what I bet they did? So the oil companies are there, and the State Department comes in. And, of course, the State Department offers facts that perfectly corroborate what Halliburton says. And then you go check in the mainstream media, you know, to see, the 200 billion barrels of oil in the Caspian. And then you go deeply in debt. And they all knew that they were selling you air, man. You guys got to wake up. There is no coming back from this energy abyss. There is no coming back from collapse. Fidel Castro just talked about it in the first paragraph of the letter I just read. And I just so hate to see people having the false hopes. But the world needs to understand that all of the promises that sent your developing economies on this binge of consumption and expansion, that was just so that your resources could be extracted. The way money works, doesn't care, and it wants your people to die. And just for all the people so victimized there, please just drop the illusion that there's something in the U.S. grab bag that's going to save you. And I say that especially to the Philippines, because Mindanao is just getting its ass kicked. Multi-day blackouts, airports shut down, and of course, the local papers owned by corporate media are saying it's all speculators' fault. No, it's not. I've just about had enough of this crap. I mean, but collapse is hitting really, really hard, man. There's just, you know, it's only getting worse, and it's only getting worse faster. And I suspect we just might be at the capitulation point here. Where mainstream media and they just give up trying to sell us that anything's going to get better. That certainly seems to be what's happened over the last few days, but we wait. Now, Iran is changing the way money works, as I said earlier this week, by refusing to retaliate, by telling the truth, by standing tall, by behaving honorably. The Iranian government is winning by being the good guy. And not only that, what they're doing is bringing about the collapse of the U.S. dollar. And I mean, that's what has to happen. The first and foremost thing that will enable more people on this planet to survive collapse, to liberate them, to prepare, would be the collapse of the U.S. dollar. And I say that for Americans, too. System D. Iran's going system. Everybody's going system. We don't need dollars. We don't need no stinking dollars. Dollars are debt. So, I'm pretty pissed off. And don't worry, I'll keep trying to get shot or arrested or something here pretty soon, because we got nothing else to lose at this point. I'll share something that's kind of spiritual and profound that happened to me. For about the last year, I'd been suffering from deteriorating vision in my left eye. I had a contact lens put in, and I'm a left-eye shooter for handgun shooters. And I'd been to the doctor, and we went through a lot of, you know, expensive stuff, but we finally got around to what the real problem was, which was that my eye was trying to grow a new lens behind the contact lens. And Thursday, with a 5-minute procedure, the laser took it all away, and I now have vision as good or better than when I was 20, you know, 25, a young cop. And I don't need to wear glasses as I did then. And I was faking it for a while, you know. And if you're out there operating and you got something debilitating inside, you still put on the good front. You do the tap dance. And I actually went shooting when I was down in L.A. to do Joe Rogan. I hope to see Joe again soon. You know, I just really feel like we could get some real shit on here. I need a foil to bounce this stuff off. But anyway, when I was down to do Joe Rogan right after Christmas, even with the bad eye, I got to do some shooting with my friend Alan down near the L.A. airport with the guys from American Defense Enterprises. And these are good shooters, man. These are guys that train government SWAT teams. I have three-letter SWAT teams, military SWAT teams, and I got to do some shooting with them. Still got my moves for an old fart, and I shot pretty good then. But when I got the vision back in my eye, because it was like a constant thing, but it was instant perfect vision, and it was kind of a shock. And what I did was I hadn't been shooting much because of that. But I went after my vision came back, and I visited all of my weapons. I went to go make friends with them again. Weapons have spirits, I believe, and it had been a long time since I had touched them, and it felt so good to be in fighting form again, to know that I was equal to them again, that I was. If you are one of the 197 billion Americans that have bought every gun in the country to the point where the Ruger firearms company is out of handguns, hello, that's probably the Mini 14s too, they're sold out. So let me tell you something about warriors, and you don't have to shoot to do this, but it is like a dance, you might say spiritually, but it is a training of muscle memory. With unloaded weapons, practice movement, and practice especially the all-important acquisition of the sight picture, and drill on that to where it becomes reflex. And this is what all warriors do, but it was nice, I just have to say it was nice to meet my friends again, and to feel like a good partnership had been reestablished. And I went and looked at my picture of Skip Mayhawk that hangs above my bed. He was a Dakota Sioux, I did some shouts and some howls, and felt primitive. It felt good. We can open up the lines now. I've got a few other things I want to talk about, but if you want to talk, 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888, or email me at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. There was an amazing quote. I have to go to the CollapseNet page right now. And by the way, thank you. Our membership numbers are growing. We are still barely hanging on. Haven't had a ton of donations, very few, we're hanging, but damn, are we performing for you. There's a great video I put up on the CollapseNet website. It's on must-see videos, and it's called Somewhere in New Mexico Before the End of Time, which is out of, obviously, New Mexico. And some scientists and some great people make some of the same conclusions that I do. You might want to go look at that. There's a good movie coming out about that. But we also put up what I think is one of the best short, powerful, accurate political statements. I'm trying to load it here. We put up a speech. It's about 3-4 minutes, but it just blows you away. And now I'm loading. There it is. Truth hurts, lies kill, reality behind the phony wars. It's just watch it. But understand as you watch it that that's what we're up against now, and that's clearly, I think, what the whole world is seeing that we're up against. Drop all illusions of national issues or anything else and just understand that there's a bunch of criminals who have a lot of power, and they have flags and so on, but we know who they are. We need to find the will. But when I put this up, there was a quote that I found from Soren Kierkegaard. He was a Dutch philosopher. There are only two ways to be fooled. One is to believe what isn't true. The other is to refuse to accept what is true. And that's where we're at. You know, I wish Occupy would have gotten on the Iran thing, but, you know, Occupy is still there, and we have hopes, but you know, maybe that's not the venue or the time. There is a tremendous amount of desperation out here, like an urgent plea that Ronnie, the guy from Israel, I mean, that was so eloquent. And it's like everybody would be wanting to say to everybody who we thought we were going to go to war with, this isn't us. But being a white, male, native-born citizen of the United States, born in Washington, D.C., I really have to say also that we in the United States have an additional responsibility. Because all of these crimes that have been committed, take them from my life, Vietnam, Iran-Contra, and all the carnage that went with that, Iraq, all of the bombings, Kosovo, Serbia, Croatia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, all of that was done by the government of the United States of America in my name as a citizen, in our names as citizens, and we carry a responsibility for that that's greater than what's carried by the people in the rest of the world who just want us to stop oppressing them. If we are truly aware of the criminality that sees John Corzine running unmolested around with how many billions through hundreds of dollars, we see nobody prosecuted after the crimes of the fraudulent accounting. Nobody's going to jail for that. Barack damn Obama, the highest paid natural gas lobbyist in the world, is occupying the White House, and the bonehead now wants to go build half a pipeline. Have we had enough yet? But we carry a responsibility. We enjoyed benefits as a result of the bombings and the economic warfare and the depleted uranium and 16 massacred Afghan citizens. Whether we like it or not, we did share in the spoils. And I think every citizen of the United States, as we kind of sneak up on, whether we do or don't have an election. By the way, I think I'm pretty comfortable offering 2-to-1 odds that there will be no London Olympics this year. Airlines are collapsing. They're going down like flocks of birds around. And we got a caller here. I'll get to you in just a minute, caller. Enough. But then is when we have to find the will to do something better than we have been doing. Say my fucking name. You know, we're just everybody that wants to really break 9/11, quit arguing about your individual theories, just pick insider trading. The Asia Times has just put it on a platter for you. Max Kaiser has put it on a platter for us. It's out there. That's a bullet. Now, does the 9/11 movement have enough sense to shoot together? No, I doubt it. But maybe some governments out there do. Maybe some governments that are recognizing what we all are. That this thing is out of control, and it's got to be stopped. Andrew from California. Where are you in California, Andrew?
Hello?
Hello, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm in Pleasanton.
All right. What can I do for you, man?
So I'm just wondering, I'm hearing a lot about, you're talking about like System D and like we need to get into alternative currencies. I'm hearing like they're doing a lot of things behind the scenes that they're going to implement a new currency, basically the dinar. I don't know if you know anything about this, but I hear a lot of people are like,
who is
up
they?
Who is they? Bullshit or what?
Okay, who is they? When you say they're going to implement a currency, who is they?
Just different insiders I hear on the internet, just different webpages. I know this sounds random, it's not, doesn't sound credible, but I mean, it just seems like there is a new system being built from within. I mean, I don't know if you believe in
no,
like
no, dude, I completely disagree with you. I'm sorry. We're on a completely different page. I cannot possibly agree with you. System D is not being designed by the powers that be. System D is people running away from the economic paradigm. There's nobody organizing it. It's taking place ad hoc. It's happening naturally as people figure out how they have to survive. There are no other plans everybody, all you zombies out there, there are no more plans. All you, you know, Alex Jones followers believe you're going to spend the next 20 years comfortably locked up in a gray FEMA camp. You're delusional. There are no more options. Human industrial civilization is collapsing, and a new currency ain't going to make a damn bit of difference. We are out of resources. We are out of energy. The price of oil now, the real price of oil is Brent now. Again, it's that magic bookkeeping ship. It's about $120, $121 a barrel. Nobody can afford it. That's what's making the airlines drop out of the skies like flies. No amount of currency is going to put fuel in those airlines' tanks. I just cannot believe the inability of people to grasp 2 + 2 = 4. It's always been just about arithmetic and nothing else. It's arithmetic and acceptance. And seeing clearly, people are waking up. And the question is, how fast? You know, a lot of the stuff that I have seen this week has been really inspiring. It has been the kind of stuff that gives me hope and to think maybe the species does deserve to survive. But on the other hand, as I'm looking at catastrophic climate change, as I'm looking at the earthquakes, and you all know, by the way, that the San Onofre nuclear power plant in Southern California is offline indefinitely because of leaks. Now, does everybody remember last year when a massive sudden blackout took out parts of what, Arizona, Nevada, Southern Cal? Well, those blackouts are sure to be here this summer in SoCal. SCE's Southern Cal Edison has already confirmed it. We've had the stories on the World News Desk. And if there is any place on the planet in the U.S. that has the ripest mix for really massive, ugly, nasty civil unrest, it's Southern California. I got a lot of friends down there. But San Onofre's down. I don't think San Onofre's coming back. Now, Japan, having shut down its nukes, has lost 30% of its electrical generating capacity. Electricity is the lifeblood of all economic activity in this world. 2 + 2 = 4. And at CollapseNet, and even on my blog, that we ran after FTW went down and Jenna Orkin and Rice Farmer were doing that. We started documenting back in 2007 as cities and venues were turning out streetlights all over the world. And now it's happening, of course, in huge chunks. Some of it, like cities all over England and Europe and the U.S. and everywhere, shutting it down just to save money. But now in larger parts of the world, like Pakistan and India, the blackouts are involuntary, not to save money, but because of grid failure. And the world's increasingly running on diesel fuel and fuel oil, which is why there is a global diesel shortage right now. When you have Japan burning fuel oil, LNG, and diesel to frantically try to make up for a tiny percent edge of the electricity that it lost when the nukes went down. We had the story up on the World News Desk, and I talk about this a lot, and it's been documented. The Taj Mahal in India is like a little city. Nothing would be there, so there's a little city around it. They have frequent blackouts, and they have 60,000 diesel generators running that whole complex to keep the Taj Mahal lit at night. Diesel is, the last thing I would do right now would be to buy a diesel car. Yes, sir? Unless you might be planning on running biodiesel, but you better be set up to do it now. And you got to understand that you're dealing with, you will be dealing with an ever diminishing fuel stock, which is, you know, the fat, the leftover stuff. Unless you're making bio, and you better be set up to do that now, because it became real clear to me this week too, and I wrote this on the World News Desk for members. that it might be a shortage of diesel fuel that actually marks the death of human industrial civilization. Richard Duncan, Ph.D., one of the great greats of the peak oil movement, he's up in Oregon. I've spoken to him many times. He and Walter Youngquist did some amazing work, but he was predicting industrial blackouts, but he did some amazing work on the correlation between electrical power and civilization. And there is a point at which where you lose enough electricity and civilization collapses. Bingo. It's all right here. And so I am still going out tonight at the end of this show. I needed to vent. But again, I'm really pissed off. You know, I just... But I'm in the same place we were last week, and that's the way it's going to be every week now until something fundamental changes with Carolyn Baker. It was like, I don't know if I'll be here next week. I don't know, you know, and I'm doing the best I can to get arrested or bring something about because, again, we got nothing to lose. But this is a great place to hang out with you guys at the in my little nightclub at the end of the world with the music and the love. And now we are like the top show on the network. PRN.FM. You know, thanks to Gary Noll. Thanks to everybody. And so God willing, and the river don't rise, I'll be back next week, hopefully just as pissed off. Have a good week, guys.